I'm calling to order the meeting of the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association Board of Directors meeting. All right, we're going to start with a prayer, and Larry Clarkson is going to lead us in the prayer.
Our dear Father in Heaven, we're grateful today for our lives and our blessings. We're grateful for this ranch. We're grateful for the opportunity to be out here and enjoy freedom. We pray that thy spirit will be with us today as we discuss the business of the ranch and different ideas. We pray that we can be inspired. We ask. We pray, Father, that thou would bless. A ranch family. Those who may be suffering. Especially such a parents. And any others who have illness or affliction. Pray that that would be with John and Sunshine and their family. Bless us all with safety as we travel. And we ask these favors and blessings in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I should pray.
Wonderful.
Yep. No problem.
All right. So, I'd like to do a roll call of the people that are present. We'll start at this end, the board.
Michael, 31, 7. Larry Clarkson, 76.
Cindy Olson, lot 17.
Scott Kohler, lot 15.
Mark B. Scott, 40.
Daniel? Jackson? Thank
you, Bill Clarkson,
164.
Daniel Clarkson, 111. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good
Mitchell
Allen,
162.
Mark Berry,
230. Roger Olson, 17.
Barry Weary, same lot.
Mike McNichol, 270.
Zane Hutton, 276.
Cindy and Kevin Poole, 64.
John and Linda Reed, 18.
Thank you. Did you get all that?
I hope that saved it. That recorder did.
Oh, that's cheating.
And you're tracking anybody online or on the call or on the whatever they're on?
Yeah.
So those who are joining us by Zoom or by phone, your presence will be noted in the minutes.
Thank you.
And we do have a quorum of the board present. So since we are doing a Zoom meeting, and we are doing our best to improve it each time we have one of these outdoor and Zoom meetings, we're going to change it up just a little bit. If you have something to discuss on the topic, please stand, I'd say, over by that bench, park.
Picnic table.
Thank you. Stand by the picnic table. So let us know that you have something to contribute or ask on that topic at that time. When we open the floor up for discussion, you'll be invited to come up and speak close enough to the microphone that the Zoom members can follow along what's going on. If you have something to talk about that is not part of the current discussion, then you'll be given an opportunity at the end of the meeting for a couple of minutes to bring up the topic. Please be aware we cannot vote or make any decisions about that topic because it is not currently part of the agenda. With that, Scott, would you like to present
Okay, I sent out the minutes to the board, and I had two corrections that I've made from Larry, and so I propose that we accept the minutes as sent out with those two corrections.
I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Okay.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. All right, Michael, are you ready to give a treasurer's report?
Yes. It's been a few months since I've done an actual accounting of funds. Primary savings account, we have around $110,000. Checking is around $110,000. Savings, our backup account, a little over $60,000. And then the secondary savings that was set aside for asset replacement, there's a little over $4,000 in it. Kudos to all that were involved in the cabins. The final sheets went out for cabin 9 and 10. They kept it in budget, so that was great. The bad news. We do have some budget shortfalls. When I looked at cabin reservations and projected for this year, I used 2019 to 2022, and while I did take out the movie crew and some other things, those are probably three anomaly years. With COVID, people didn't have other places to go. This is where they had. This was open. They could come here, and people are choosing to go other places. So we are about 50% short currently on our projected cabin reservations. I think that's all I have. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Kurt, would you like to give a... Where'd he go? There he is. Would you like to give a property management report?
No, he's got to come over here.
They're done. I still need to put it. We had a faulty faucet going to 9, and I got it up there. And after the meeting, I'm going to go put that in. We got electric refrigerators in cabin 9 and 10, and after a few things that Brent can probably fill you in better on, everything seems to be operating well. I'm working on pour the countertop for cabin 4 today. And I'm looking for a sink so I can do cabin 6's countertop. If anybody has a sink they want to donate, that would be awesome. Kitchen sink. I'm getting ready to, Larry was kind enough to bring up, or I haven't got a bill yet, so I'm not going to say kind. He brought the cattle guards up. And the concrete blocks, and we need to get a couple more concrete blocks, and we're going to redo the entrance of the. You notice the gate got knocked down last year, but I think the gate was all holding up that pole because it just took a tap and it just fell over in the one in the back area. So, in about 10 days, I'm going to get caught up on a few things, and I'll be focusing on the entrance here and the catch pen back by the well field. We're reorganizing headquarters in such a way the shelves here, Michael Jordanson was kind enough to donate them out of a 40-foot container, and we want to empty where the washer and dryer is in the back and put those back there and put a floor in there and the man door and kind of clean that up and make that the entire laundry facility so we're not running from there over to here where we keep the linens. It seems it's just a lot of extra footwork. So we're going to move everything back there. And then over at this end, we're going to make that our tool room. And then we have the current tool room can actually be kind of a shop that we can do some projects in and stuff, making screens and stuff like that. We'll have some room to work. So that's kind of what we got going. Any questions?
Yeah.
I do have a couple quick.
Okay.
These are all things that were brought up in the past.
Well, by the end of the month, I'd like to get, well, before the rains come, I got to get the shell to there. And as we discussed, we need to sell a trailer to get the funds to the floor.
I have three other things.
Okay.
Metal Canyon and Crawford Canyon was brought up. It's completely plugged. Is that on your list somewhere, too?
That I'm waiting on. Larry and I have been talking about that. And yes, that is on the list.
Okay. Monsoons, you mentioned. Clearing out culverts.
On the list.
Yes. They're coming soon. I didn't know if that was in progress. And one other thing is the angry beaver that's broken down on the road up by the wet meadow.
Not that beaver.
I will call.
Is that BLM we need to call, or North Church? Or?
No, that's Norris. I'll call Norris.
I just find out what his plan is. It's kind of been sitting there for a while.
Okay, I'll give him a call.
Thank you.
I think it's in Mexico.
Do you need any help or support in getting done the things that needed to be done, the culverts, getting those put back there for
I can get the culverts back there. I told Larry I was going to bring them back there. He was going to use the track hoe to go ahead and dig the catch ponds, but I'm not sure if that's an option now. So we haven't had that conversation.
He said yep.
Yep what?
Yep, it's an option.
Okay.
You need to schedule that?
Yeah, we're. He's. When I can catch him, I talk to him. That might be good. We talk a lot.
Yeah, we just need to do it before the rain comes.
I know. That's why I'm bringing it up now.
Can anybody help with any of the other clearing of culverts?
It's just, I know where the problem areas are, and it won't take you that long to clear the culverts. Larry said there's about 20 culverts that I don't even know exist, and so I'd like to find those.
I know there's 6 in Crawford Canyon proper that you can't even see.
Yeah, well,
there's
some erosion on there that I was talking to Larry about. It's out taking some pit run and putting it in for the road. The erosion's encroaching on the road around the culverts. Yeah.
Sure.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to move on to new business, and there's some old business in here as well. So the board has been is working on revising the property manager / caretaker contract, and like the admin position, it has grown and expanded and become bloated and impossible to do as a single position. So at this point, the board is looking at it the same way we looked at the admin position. It's like, what duties belong in which bucket, and how do we get each of those buckets taken care of properly, and what is that going to cost? So we've only begun to approach it, and that's the approach that we're starting to take, is that, you know, do we need somebody that's just going to be doing the ranch house and headquarters, and somebody that does maintenance, and, you know, instead of looking for somebody that can do everything and is willing to work 24/7, we're trying to break it up into more bite-sized, manageable pieces. So I've got no particular progress to report at this time. We're still hashing it out. The next topic is the Firefly reservation portal is almost ready to go live. This is something that we absolutely have to deal with and take a vote on today, because the old reservation system has died. As far as I can tell, I'm getting one out of 10 reservation requests. So if you go on our current website and make a reservation request, there's only about a 1 out of 10 chance that I'm even going to see it. So that's a problem. That's a big problem. And my sincere apologies to anybody who thinks they have a reservation only to find out that they don't. So we're set up. We've put all the work into setting it up and creating the back end for this new reservation system. Can we go live by the end of this week, do you think?
I think so. I think that...
Get it, the link on the website?
Yeah. I'll have to get with Vance or whoever to get locked in, and we'll tear down, we'll remove all the links and all the pages to the other stuff, or at least hide them, rename them something, add in the new link, which will take you to the Firefly reservation system. A little history that I was given is that the old system was done in 2000 using WordPress. And we know how fast technology changes, so the fact that she's getting any emails today is a miracle.
Okay, so by the end of the week, we want to go live on that. Now, the bad news, there's always, why is there always a bad news? The bad news is that there is a fee for making a reservation. It is a nominal fee, but we're going to vote on what we think is appropriate based on the cabin usage, how much we have to pay to have a reservationist. We want to start recovering some of those costs. So when you make a reservation, you are blocking other members out from being able to make a reservation as well. So we want to make it, we don't want it to hurt, but we want you to have to think about it a little bit. We haven't had much of a discussion on this, and I would like to have us discuss a $25 non-refundable reservation fee per reservation. You could then make changes, and it would require the reservationist to assist you with that, likely. So that would use up some reservationist time, but I think it's fair. Bart, you got any thoughts?
Do I have any thoughts?
No, I know
I have
your
a
thoughts.
Lot of thoughts. we're implementing a system. Currently, what we make on the cabins doesn't cover, we're $5,000 to $6,000 at a minimum in the hole every year on cabin operations. And now we have to bring in a reservation system that's going to incur additional costs. So, I think we all generally think you should pay what you use. and so I think it's appropriate to have a reservation fee.
Okay.
What if we went back?
I'm sorry, you have to come up here and stand and wait to be recognized.
Robert Fool of Order.
Recognizer.
What if we go back to the old system then? Because it used to be $50 reservation fee and then $2 per day per person.
For cleaning.
Or
whatever.
Paper goods and cleaning and everything.
As the whole reservation charge? Are you saying, or?
If you're trying to change it and add another fee on top of the $25 a day, what if you just go back to the old way? Maybe
$2
a day.
That is being discussed. The actual daily fee is also being discussed and what is appropriate, but a reservation fee covers reservationist time. It covers our third-party outsource. The ranch isn't making money off of that reservation fee in the sense that, we're trying to bleed people dry. We're trying to just cover the costs. And a little background of why a third-party reservation system was chosen is, sure, I can get into the code and I can fix our current reservation system, but if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, who's going to do it?
She was referencing just the fees.
The fees,
changing,
correct.
Going back to the fees. Yeah.
Correct, but I'm explaining why we're adding the reservation fee separate from the day-to-day charge. The day-to-day charge still may increase to cover the costs of cleaning supplies and somebody to clean the cabins and whatever else, however all this unfolds in the future. But the reservation fee is specifically to cover current technology in order for us to go forward, to remove the stuff off the website that is broken.
We've had several different systems, and I don't know that all the members or even board members are aware of which one are we using now, what have we gone away from. I'm not a cabin renter. I've never made a reservation. If I were to make one today, you probably wouldn't get it because our system doesn't work.
Right.
But
you still wouldn't have made one.
What does it cost, or what should it cost, to make a reservation and to stay? We do a 3-night minimum.
You're doing that.
I mean, I stay in a lot of other places in my travels, and I believe that our cabins are somewhere between $25 to $50 a night, which in my world is ridiculous.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll get to you in just 1 second, Danielle. I still see the cabins as a benefit for members. That's how I view them. I don't view them as, hey, this is a, you know, we can make money off our members. We don't want to do that. But the cabins need to be paying for themselves. It is not fair for people who don't use the cabins to be paying for those cabins to exist and be used. So this is not really about that yet. And this $25 reservation fee will not even cover paying the reservationist. So, it's kind of a minimum. It's kind of a start for this. We will be having further discussions about the rates that we pay. Danielle.
Bruce McQueen, Lot 101, would like to be recognized. I am in favor of increasing cabin costs to make cabins more self-supporting. Kathy Pierce, Lot 23, I would like to consider the pay-for-play system.
That's $2 per day.
Is that, yeah. Ask Kathy what she means by that, because I thought playing was renting a cabin, and people are paying to rent the cabin.
So a couple of years ago, they changed it to the system that we're currently using.
Okay.
And if that's not working, then they changed it for not.
All right. Okay. So are there any other comments to be recognized? Okay. So we're just discussing the reservation, the non-refundable reservation fee. That's all that's on the table right now.
John Reed, Lot 18. You know, you and I kind of discussed this. I bumped into a guy in traffic a couple months ago. And what people are doing is they're turning around, they're buying homes, and then they're turning and hiring a management company to come in and use them as a BRBs, and they're setting them up that way.
Okay. I'm going to cut you off, and I'm really sorry because we have a couple of things that are very time. We have time constraints. I'm asking simply for comments about the reservation, a $25 reservation fee. That's the topic.
Well, that was never mind.
Go ahead, John, and tell us about.
Right, I'm just asking you to come back to the topic, which is the $25 or a different number of the reservation.
It was basically the same thing, except instead of us doing the whole system and trying to manage this whole thing, because it's that more. Why couldn't we hire a company to manage the hotel? I mean, to manage the cabins and everything else and keep maintenance up on the cabin, keeping reservations on the cabin, instead of trying to expand it out to somebody here on the ranch all the time. Because the increase keeps going up, and then they would be responsible for the reservations. They'd be responsible for the maintenance on the cabin. They'd be responsible. Instead of every time a board changes, everything keeps changing.
Okay. We've taken note of your comments. We will consider them.
Can I say something?
Discussion.
May I? Just a quick response to that. I know we have stuff to talk about.
We do.
I mean, it's respect for the members just to discuss it.
Well, not if it's not on the agenda. And the only thing on the agenda right now is
I think that
for management fees. For management fees appropriate.
Okay.
This would actually most likely, in a route like that one, most likely increase management fees. You know, we... have an Airbnb. My wife and I have two Airbnbs, one on our property and one of the old house in California. We looked to outsource it to a third party management company. Minimum was 25% is what they were taking. So we will make less money. It will cost more money, to make it feasible for the ranch. Most likely. We haven't really dove into it, but it sounds good to third party it out, but they're going to take their pound of flesh from you.
All right. Thank you. So back to the topic that's on the table. Does anybody have any other suggestions for a dollar amount or a yay or nay input on whether or not we do a reservation fee non-refundable?
So currently we have no reservation fee.
There's no reservation fee. You can go on there. You can book up all the cabins you want. You have to pay, you know, shortly, but you can tie up every single cabin for 10 days before you have to pay a bill on anything. So that's partly what we're trying to prevent here. And
Cindy?
Yes?
Cindy, it's Vance, 156. We can't answer the question because we don't know how much Firefly costs.
Firefly is a flat fee, $3.50 per reservation. Over a year, we generally take in about 150, 160 reservations. So it's going to cost us about $500 a year just for the Firefly reservation. We chose Firefly because it was a per reservation fee, not a monthly fee. And during the winter, we would still be paying the monthly fee and not having any reservations being made. In comparison, for example, somebody proposed a cowboy bunkhouse, Savoy. And we looked at that. We did our due diligence. We looked at it. It's a monthly rate of $35 for their premium package or whatever, which is equal to what Firefly is giving us. And we just liked the layout of Firefly better. We made a decision, and we felt it fit us better.
Vance, are you proposing that we... Firefly charges?
Earlier on, a few minutes ago, somebody made the statement, not even covering expenses, which got my ears pricked up. What was that talking about?
So, go ahead, Michael.
Firefly does $350 reservation fee. We're still exploring the fee to integrate with QuickBooks, and we're exploring the fee to require them to pay up front when they make the reservation. So right now you can make a reservation, and it may be 2 weeks before we get the money, and then they may change their mind, or somebody who would have paid up front chose different dates because their dates were blocked out. It's bringing our reservations into the 21st century.
In addition, each reservation incurs work. It ties up or causes work for the bookkeeper and for the cabin reservationist as well. And we're trying to cover some of those costs.
We don't need to get into the weeds of it. All I'm saying is, as a business person, when I hear expenses are not being covered, I say, uh-oh, fix it.
And that's our attempt here. Is we're starting with the reservation fee. And to be honest, I'm going to do an analysis of what the cabins cost us versus our actual income coming in. And we're going to look at adjusting the daily rate to try and help cover those costs. So that is coming, yes.
Okay, so when you said, whoever said not covering the expenses, what you meant was not covering expenses up front at the time of reservation.
Correct. It's not just up front, Vance.
Yeah.
The ranch has run somewhere, according to Mariah's analysis, between $5,000 and $7,000 negative every year on cabin reservation, cabin use. The cabins cost more than we make on cabins. So to a member that doesn't use a cabin, we're subsidizing those that do use a cabin.
Yeah, no, and we fixed this very thing Brent knows as much about it, if not more, than I do. We fixed this thing, this pay-for-play thing, which is what this is all about. And it wasn't that long ago, but I guess what has happened in the meantime is that the price of everything has gone up, and we haven't revisited it.
Yeah, that is a big part of the problem is we don't increase what we charge on anything as prices increase in the real world.
Yeah, understood. Okay. Well, like I said, it was sort of the thing about not covering expenses, just that it's like, what? That woke me up. So I will shut up and go back to being muted now that I understand what you actually meant.
Thank you, Ann.
Danielle.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, lot 64. I would like to suggest a daily fee rather than a reservation fee, like $10 a day per day that you're going to reserve the cabin, and then a change order fee. As people who work with the cabins directly in support of the cabins, what we've seen a lot of is somebody rents it for these days, but then they change their mind and they rent it for these days, and then they change their mind, they rent it for these days, then they change their mind, they rent that cabin over there. You know, people are fickle.
Yeah.
You know, they can't, and we're guilty too. I mean, you know, but if you put an emphasis on what you're going to do per day and then make your mind up, and if you want to change it 15 times, pay for the change. That's my suggestion.
Okay, thank you. And we will take that into account.
This is Danielle Clarkson. This is kind of opening a can of worms, but I feel we need to maybe send out a survey. That's kind of same Google survey format so that members can submit yes or no in favor of a reservation fee, suggest an amount, and ask any questions that the board will review and then email out answers.
We've got to do this before the end of this week. We have to have a decision before the end of this week because we're going live.
We can get that done in a week.
We can get a survey done in a week.
Yes. Can you get responses done in a week? That's
not they're given a deadline. If they want to have
that puts us another month out from doing a vote. I mean, we can absorb the cost, and I'm okay with that. We can absorb that cost for the 30 days before we can actually vote on it next month, but that's something we all have to decide.
Do we have enough objection to having a reservation fee that it's something we have to take out to the whole membership to decide? That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm not saying that the membership is going to decide this because it's not the membership to decide.
Okay.
But members that are asking questions on how this new system will run.
Okay. So the new system and all of the rates. No, let me back up. The rates are up for a potential increase, and that I think we could and probably should do a poll or, get input. Give everybody, right.
But people need to understand that the reservation system is down. We have nothing in place now.
Right. This is
you need to get it in.
Correct. And we have to pay. There is going to be a reservation fee charged to the ranch. I'm just trying to figure out how can we cover it and maybe cover the reservationists and the bookkeeper's time as well to some degree. So we're looking at a very small piece. We can't look at the whole thing right now. We have to look at this one small piece because this has to be decided today. So if there's any other input regarding the reservation fee, whether or not it should be $25, $350, $5,000, Tina.
Tina Collins, 121. I am not opposed to the reservation fee.
Okay.
I think if we tack it on to the existing fee structure, reservations are going to go down because then it's more cost.
It's going to be more cost regardless.
But if you go back to the pay-per-play, like when we were renting cabins, it was a per-person basis. So if you have a 20-person stay, it's more cost to the ranch. An easy way to reduce our cost is make it a camping cabin. Whoever comes and stays brings their own paper goods, their own toilet paper, their own foil. We did. It's not a big deal. Eliminate that cost on the ranch altogether. Our only cost is laundry. and then be more stringent on cleaning. If they don't clean before they leave, we charge them.
Okay.
I know
again,
it's been lackadaisy before.
Again, we're outside the scope of the question on the table.
Yes, but you opened it up because costs aren't being covered.
We apologize. But that is going to go, that will be considered in part of the discussion on how are we going to begin to cover the cabin.
I'm just saying
cost.
There's other solutions other than just keep charging the members. There's other solutions.
Okay. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike McNichols, 270. Couple of questions. First, I want to make sure everybody knows I support the reservation fee. I agree that whoever's using the cabins needs to pay for the cabin. So I think reservation fee is a good idea.
Okay.
25 is, you know, subject to discussion on is it the right number? Should it go up? Should it go down? I think we'll only really know the answer over time.
Okay.
So we have to start somewhere. I think 25 is a good number to start with. The other question I had was, we talked about using a reservationist and a reservationist time and support.
Yes.
My question is, who is the reservationist? Is that somebody that works for DSROA? Is
yes.
it somebody who works for Firefly?
It's subcontracted out currently to me.
So it's somebody from DSROA.
The DSRO member.
Who's spending time to manage the process.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to get clarification.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Lyndon.
Just a suggestion.
Can you come up, and we can't hear you.
Just a quick suggestion where you're on the time limit. I'd say vote yes. Let's put the fee right now with the survey and at the annual meeting, then that information can be impounded, rather it needs to go up or down or whatever. Just get it done.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm closing discussion at this point. And I am proposing that we institute a $25 non-refundable reservation fee starting when Firefly goes live. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. And all in favor?
And we have a little more discussion just to see. Do we have any better guess on cost of integrating QuickBooks?
No, that's a meeting we're going to have Friday. All right, so the QuickBooks integration comes with Firefly. It's going to be Danielle's time to download an IFI file and upload it into QuickBooks for one of us, either Danielle or I, to set up the chart of accounts in Firefly that match QuickBooks. We've got some labor hours involved here, and then the other actual fee charge, which I have not looked into yet, is payment at time. When we actually make the reservation, they enter a credit card or they pay it at that time, and that is a extra fee that I don't know what that's going to cost. I believe it's going to be like 3% of the total
of
the transaction plus $1.50 or something like that, or plus 30. No, it was plus 30. It was 2.9% of the full transaction plus 30 cents. Is I think if I remember reading it correctly.
And that's the cost to us to have the ability to charge them
on site to collect immediately and have it put
directly
into DSRO's account.
At the time of booking.
Yeah, which reduces our labor for Danielle to send out billing, reduces our stamps, reduces. So there is some benefit to this, but it is going to be a cost that we need to cover.
I brought up the 25 because I felt it wasn't too onerous. I don't believe it's going to cover what we need it to cover at this point. We could always vote to change it if we need to. But for something non-refundable, I don't think it should be too onerous. I don't think we should be, you know, overcharging, I guess, for that. Okay. Do you have what you need to vote?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I would vote yes.
So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Can't be. It passes unanimously. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. And I'm sorry, it was something we had to do, and I kind of wanted to keep the discussions on that one topic. So my apologies for any insult or hurt feeling I caused. We have a road signage committee. I do not know. I don't have records on who was on that committee. I don't have any information about it. I know that one of our members was leading it. Maybe Mike, you know something about the road signage?
I've got the information in my computer at home, but I don't have it in my head.
Okay, would you send that to me so we can either revive it or put it to sleep? Is it Scott Hill? Is that the name?
Yeah, works for
Yesco Sign Company.
Yeah.
Do we have any idea if they've even met? That committee has even met?
Jeff Nicholson was involved. So there was some discussion, but basically
we were involved that did that for a living.
Right, Scott Hill.
What was his last name? Scott what?
Hill.
Hill, okay.
Yeah, basically it was, this thing got kind of kicked off in the fall, and it's like, okay, in the spring we'll pick it up again and get going, and nothing ever happened in the spring.
Okay.
And the spring is kind of bad this year. I know I got stuck. Anybody else get stuck?
Maybe that's the sign we need. Don't get stuck. All right. So we'll look into that and see if there's some way to revive that.
I'll send you the information.
If anybody would like to participate in the starting up the road signage committee, restarting that, please let the board know. Okay. Okay. This is going to be tough. I am not opening the floor for discussion at this time. There's going to be a discussion with the board for a few minutes, and then I will open it up for brief comments. There is a proposal from Dale Clarkson of Deer Springs Ranch, LLC. There are a few key points that I would like to open up to the full membership. We would like to post the proposal. If there is no objection from Dale, we would like to post the proposal online so that people can read the entire proposal, so that we have full transparency of what has been brought to the board for consideration. I am putting together some bullet points from the proposal for information for all the members. Basically asking if the membership would like us to consider consider moving on the proposal that Dale Clarkson has made. That's the gist of what I need to say at this point.
You want to summarize what the proposal is?
Yes. That's what I'm saying, bullet points. And put it out on the ballot so that when people are voting for the new board members, they are also weighing in on the proposal. And they have the option of seeing the entire proposal or, going by bullet points.
I mean, are we going to actually talk a little bit about it so people know, so we're not just talking about a nebulous black box? Or so they can know what we're...
What's that?
I would like
to.
Right now it's this black box and they don't know what we're talking about.
It is a black box.
It makes sense to just kind of maybe say...
It is a black box, but I'm not turning this into a five-hour meeting.
I know, we don't want to...
Discussing every single point and the pros and cons. It is basically... My understanding of the proposal is that Dale Clarkson would like to become the property management company for Deer Springs Ranch. And
there are multiple proposals within that proposal, some of which talks about selling off some common property, developing some of the common property. It's huge. It's, I don't know, how many pages is it? 30, 40 something? There's a lot to consider, and I'm concerned about opening it up right now and having, and in this forum, and having an enormous discussion that doesn't really go anywhere.
Well, yeah, I just wanted people to, so it wasn't a black box, so they knew what it was. And when it goes out there and it goes online, we really would appreciate people to read it and look into it and pay it and, you know, understand the ramifications of certain courses of action. And maybe we want to go some of it, not all of it, that sort of stuff. So think about that when you read it online.
Please. So this is just kind of a heads up that there is a.
So do we have the ability to put that on our website or?
Yes.
Our webmaster says yes.
Yes.
So that will go up and we'll send a notice out with the ballot that people will have access to that. And again, I'm going to give you a yay or nay on making it public to the members.
Oh, it's public. It was delivered to DSR. It was delivered to the board.
Right.
And so if a member requests it, we have to deliver it out to them anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it is now property or given to us as property for consideration.
Okay.
I mean, it's not something that's necessarily actionable right now. We need feedback on it.
Correct.
It's not, we're not going to vote at the ballot, put a ballot to say, and we're doing this or not doing this.
That also might have to require a vote from the membership.
Well, that's why it's going to go out on the ballot.
Right.
There will be a vote from the membership. Yeah,
right.
We want to hear their feedback.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to move on now to the annual meeting. Tina has so kindly volunteered to lead the committee for the annual meeting, putting together the auction and the food and making some purchases on behalf of the ranch. I wanted to talk briefly about the budget. So I'm going to skip down to item II. A shade structure has been proposed. We do need to come up with a food budget, and there's another proposal on the table of, or not really on the table, but has been brought up of an outdoor kitchen or other permanent or semi-permanent improvements to this area, the common area of the ranch. So I will entertain. I'm going to open this up.
I'll address the shades. I'm currently watching prices on 20 commercial grade shading, easy up formats, 1 to 2 people can put them up quickly. I've looked at many different styles, and I think commercial grade is a little more expensive, but we have a habit of buying things that
get trashed
and don't last very long, so I think it's better to do the investment. And I'll tell you what I can give you numbers of cost. It's going to be right around $800 for the shades and the weights to hold the shades down. And
the
that's
we
for.
Picked have the weights on.
Huh?
The ones we picked have the weights with it.
They don't come with it. It's extra. It's $40 extra.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it did.
Yeah, it's $40 extra. So that's 2 10x20s. So that gives us 20x40, basically, area of shade that we can set up and take down easily. My only concern is storing those somewhere that, you know, they're taken care of, and we'll have to figure out where to store them and make sure that they're not left out and take them up and down. And anyway, it's going to be right around $800 for the shades.
For how many is that?
That's two. Two 10x20s.
$800 a piece.
No.
Total.
Oh. I'm giving you total numbers.
Wow.
So that's $400 a piece, basically, with the shade and the weight.
And this money funding is coming out of our annual meeting auction funds.
Auction funds from last year, yes. Right. I haven't purchased them yet, simply because I'm waiting for Amazon Prime, which is Monday and Tuesday next week, and I'm hoping we can get them a few dollars cheaper. So
that's the holdup there is waiting on that.
How much was raised last year?
$4,000.
Cindy.
Danielle. Yes, Danielle.
Ben Cullen would like to speak. So, Ben, you're being asked to unmute.
Okay. Last board meeting, I brought up a brief idea that I think is going hand in hand with some of the comments here regarding a potential outdoor kitchen space area. So I think some folks know that I'm in the solar business, and I regularly do commercial properties and put solar on them. One of the things that I'm aware of is that there are certain grants and tax credits available that the laws have changed, and nonprofits, including homeowners associations, can now get direct payments for these tax credits. I've looked at the Deer Springs Ranch territory and areas where the association owns the land, and it falls within a category that gets the highest tax credits possible, meaning it may be possible to do a pavilion with that is covered with solar panels that has, you know, places for picnic tables, a general meeting area, whatever you want, kitchen facilities, whatever we want to build into it, and have that structure basically covered at about a cost of 90%, maybe even as high as 100%, through the various tax credits and grants. I would love the opportunity to maybe dive into this in more detail, but also get feedback from the board as what they might see as best for the association, what the community wants. Maybe we want to do three of these. One, you know, down by the headquarters, one up by the first group of cabins, one up by the upper group of cabins. Or maybe we just want to do one. Maybe we don't want to do anything. But there's an opportunity there that I think could give us a very good facility or multiple facilities with pavilions, with electricity, water, kitchens, things like that for each area.
Ben, this is Larry Clarkson. Is that something that you would be the head of a committee or something, or is that something you would pursue for us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a member, so I would do it on behalf of the membership. I'd be happy to help. If my company needs to come in to do something for it, that's fine. But really, I think I would like to work on behalf of the association to figure out a proposal that would work for us, meaning I'm part of you guys, not as a salesperson to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's your idea and comments are exactly what we're looking for in this. That, among other ideas, I mean, there may be others that have other ideas of what we can do. Personally, I would say I think we still need to do the short-term shade pavilion stuff for this year's annual meeting. We're obviously not going to put up a pavilion and picnic area and kitchen.
By September?
At least I'm not in the next
one. At the right time?
No, I agree. This would be something that I think that the board would have to vote on, even probably the members would vote. It's a bigger project. It'd be putting up a pretty nice structure, probably similar to what most people have seen at some of the LDS campgrounds and things like that, right? It's a pavilion, and you've got picnic tables under it and do whatever you want to underneath there. But it would be solar powered, and with that solar power comes the ability to get some pretty significant tax credits and grants.
Yes, Mark.
I was going to say, how hard is it to get that proposal and the grant in progress and then go from there? Or would that be the first step, or would we have to come up with a proposal and then apply for the grant?
Figuring out kind of what is wanted would be the first thing, so we know what kind of loads would be powered by the solar and how much solar. So there's some, I would say, I'm just going to say between 1 and 3 months worth of kind of work to just figure out what exactly is wanted, then put that together into a cost. We'll bid that out, see what the cost is, and from there, once you have the cost, you'll know how much to apply for the grants and the tax credits.
So we need to come up with the size of a building and then to see how much that will support as far as panels and et cetera?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Mark.
To
me, it sounds like a good idea. I think it's something that, as I've recently, I'm director of infrastructure. I mean, it's something that would need to be tied into infrastructure. To me, it sounds like a good idea and something that we should investigate, and then we could bring it to the members to see if they wanted to do it. I mean, it sounds like a good idea to me.
I think if we have some starting plans by September, by this coming annual meeting, it could generate some excitement about participating in the auction to make sure that we have the money to pay that extra 10% and have food for the following year.
Yeah.
So, Ben, that's excellent. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you stepping up for something like that.
Okay. I'd be happy to work on this, but I'd need some maybe person of the board to kind of communicate with, or the infrastructure. I forget who was just talking there.
That's Bart. Bart Batista.
That Bart. Okay.
Yeah. We like to appoint Bart to all kinds of interesting things here on the board.
Thanks.
Excellent. And we all know your name now. I'm quite sure you'll hear from us. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Ben, if there's anything I can do to help, you can get a hold of me also.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have something, Tina?
The silent auction idea came up. I know it was before my time, but I think somebody said they tried it before and it was unsuccessful.
But it was somebody who really did it. My understanding is the person that did it wasn't, I'll say, committed to it. How's that?
I don't know. I'm looking for input from people that were here during that time of how it went, how much it made, did it not make anything, was it successful. Last year, I know the table was just piled on top and piled on top. I don't think there's a feasible area to do a clipboard for every item like they're suggesting. But if anybody has input.
Yeah, we can. I mean, there almost everybody here has a table they could bring, and it would be a matter of, you know, broadcasting, hey, we need tables, contact Tina. So I think it's been brought up multiple times, and I like the sound of Ms. Christensen,
Camille.
It sounds like she knows what she's doing. So you might delegate that. You're going to have your hands full with this annual meeting. So you might delegate that part to her. It sounds like she's willing and able.
There may be certain items that lend themselves more to being just on a list or a table that's a silent auction item. We have too much to get through.
Definitely.
Yeah,
let's do both.
Yeah. So absolutely.
I think a percentage of it could be silent auction stuff where people go along and sign on the clipboard and say, I'll pay $5, I'll pay $50, I'll pay $100, and then have a portion of.
But like that game that they had last year.
Yes, Ranchopoly needs to be. Oh, yeah.
They thought that was going to be a low item.
Oh, I know.
Or the horseback riding. That was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe duplicate items like some
petite towels.
Yeah.
And
if it's duplicate items,
decorative items.
One and everything goes to the
Going
to food. I'm not a cook. Hoping maybe Kurt is still willing to cook our food or meat anyway. You had mentioned maybe borrowing a smoker to do ribs.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. So what kind of budget have you had in the past for doing smoking?
I've never spent more than a couple $100.
Okay. And then we potluck most everything else. Okay. So maybe some the big hot items like beans, potatoes, and meat. We'll get you some volunteers that'll help.
Okay. We'll look at it.
But you think you could do beans, potatoes, and meat for 300? 400?
Get it costed out and I'll let you know.
You let Tina know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I should look into a backup.
I'll do
that.
That was my question.
All
right.
Okay, Dale?
Okay, Dale? Okay, Dale? Question I have on the annual corporate annual meeting has to do with business. I would like to suggest, comment here, water rights of Deer Springs Ranch is at a very critical point right now. There are budget items that are very critical. I would like to see the annual meeting for business for people who travel here to find out about the corporation instead of 10 minutes on that and 2 hours on an auction to raise, what, $2,000? I think we're on the wrong track to spend most of our time to raise a $1,500 auction budget when there are millions of dollars that should be talked about at the annual meeting. I hope that as a board, you structure the thing so that people traveling here are able to get information about the business of Deer Springs Ranch. I have people that talk to hydrologists and other people on the water, and the Starlink solar stuff. There's some very important items that Deer Springs Ranch wants or needs, and I think when the people come to the annual meeting, they have other things other than auction items on mind.
Okay, so we have so far $800 budget for shade, structure approximate, and we're going to throw out $400 for food.
I'm doing, after the meeting, I'm going to do an accounting of what we have, what we need.
Great. So that, do you think it's going to go much over $400 for food?
I'm, in the past, they've done the cheap dollar store tablecloths that don't stay on the roll. I'm looking to buy the elastic cheese board.
Okay.
That'll go on the budget.
Okay.
And then decorating the
okay, but we're still under the $2,000 mark.
So throw a number out. What do you think that you may need for
how many people are we anticipating being there? How many did we attend last year? Anybody remember or know?
60.
Under 100 probably. I'd say I'd close 80.
Yeah, well, maybe 80 is a good number.
So if we say 100 people, what's it take to get food and feed 100 people?
Well, but we do a lot of potluck. People like to bring potluck items.
I'm after your budget as far as paper plates and silverware and tablecloths and just a rough guess to what you think you might need.
Are you talking to Tina?
Tina.
I want paper plates and that kind of stuff.
We're about $10 each. I'm shopping for cheaper, but I need to know how many tables we have. So $100 for that. She's trying to tell me there is stuff in store. We'll get an accounting of what we have. Yeah.
That's in the Kanab storage.
So.
And I have a bunch of that to donate too.
So 250, 300, enough to at least put a number to it to see where we're sitting.
That was 300.
Okay.
So we're looking at about 1,500 we've spent so far, ish, budgeted for. So that leaves us another 2,500 to do something with. Now, because
we need to rent a heater or barbecue big enough to cook all the food.
not going to be here. You can't borrow. Damage 6%.
Okay. We're still looking at around 2,000, 2,500 that we haven't, that we've got. And my understanding from our conversations about budget items is that we can't roll that over for something like next year's pavilion or...
In the past, we haven't. And that's something I was going to discuss with Danielle and a few others. I don't know if you want to go down this road right here and right now, but I would like us to be able to protect certain assets for future items. I would like to be able to roll that money over into a larger pavilion or set that money aside in a separate savings account. I don't know if we have a limit on savings accounts. I don't know if we have a limit on whether we can actually invest in something like a guaranteed CD to make that grow for a year while we... I have some ideas, but I have other people I need to talk to about being nonprofit. But if we're not going to spend it, I would vote not to have it roll up into the general funds.
Okay. I'm looking out at these picnic tables. Thank you for helping me with that word. I'm looking out at these picnic tables, and they're kind of pathetic. They're in ratty shape. I don't know if that's something that that you as members want to see upgraded. There's some really good outdoor materials, building materials that they could be made from. So just my thought of where we could spend some of that money. Anybody else? We have any comments? Danielle, anybody chatting?
Not on here. There's support of Ben's proposal, and I think what I'll do is send out the chat to the no reply so everyone can kind of see each other's comments, because there was a lot going on with the cabin reservations and whatnot.
Okay, that'd be great. I'd like to see that.
Would you like me to investigate picnic tables? And
I'm not getting any feedback on that, so I don't know.
Wouldn't be that hard to get out.
Cindy?
That would be a good volunteer-type project for a weekend to wire brush them and repaint them. And,
or
replace the boards.
Replace the boards. I mean, you've got the basic. It'd be a lot cheaper than buying new ones.
Yeah. And we could replace it with what's that stuff called?
Trex
or something?
Put a list of things that we need and see if anyone has them to donate or would like to.
Okay.
I'm not a fan.
We have the money. We have the money. You're not a fan of Trex.
Not in the sunshine.
Okay.
And I'll give you why. It's made of PVC.
Right.
And it deteriorates. Okay. And it gives slivers in your fingers.
Even wood.
Yeah, well, yes. But okay. I'm not a fan of Trex.
Annual meeting.
Well, not necessarily. It would be ideal. Somebody is trying to speak here on the speaker. Do we have somebody on the phone or computer somebody's trying to get my attention?
Want to do it?
Neither are they. Just talking about
ideal but low probability to have done.
I think so too.
We should do a project and pick a date, let everybody know, people that want to come help, need some help, people want to bring, you know, sanders or whatever.
Well, not that. I think the thing about it is let's just take them off and replace it.
Oh, okay. Just replace it.
And then so what you want to do is forge and maybe some varnish or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I'd be willing to help if I'm in town.
Okay. Okay.
And along those
lines, just because it was my idea, I don't.
Yeah, it wasn't really good.
minimal.
Not necessarily a good one.
Throw money away? I don't know.
All right. So, for the board members, based on feedback we've been getting, do we want to vote to investigate or plan to roll that money over toward a larger project next year of a pavilion? Or do we want to find ways to spend it, such as landscaping or picnics or something in this area?
I think we should roll it over and then decide what the priorities are and use it for whether it's new grass or picnic tables or whatever, a pavilion.
Okay.
But I like the idea of rolling it over and keeping it as a separate fund.
Bart, you have any comment?
I would rather invest it, spend it on something long-term permanent. I'd rather put it towards some pavilion structure that's going to last 100 years, not picnic tables that last.
Good enough.
Actually, I do have a...
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think investing in a permanent structure, something long-term would be better. I mean, I'm working on a pergola structure at Best Friends right now, and it's a metal on concrete slab, and those things can be expensive. The quotes we got for 20 by 20 were between $23,000 and $66,000. That was the range of quotes for a metal structure fabricated. So material prices are expensive, and nothing's cheap.
However, he did mention the tax credits, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, typically, the tax credits are we looked at a solar panel farm as well, and you have to do the initial outlay and then get reimbursed. Is what happens. But we can get into the details and find out what it is. But there's still outlay and cost, but then you can get it back. Yeah.
We're talking grant.
Yeah,
I know if that's what it is, but we'll get into those details later. I just know that things are expensive. That was the point I brought that up. Things are expensive, and so, you know, if rolling money over into the next year for a bigger project is, I think, is a better way to do it than just spend it this year because we have it in the budget.
Okay, so, Scott, you want to make a proposal about rolling it over, or should I?
Well, I'll make a proposal. I propose it. Any of the funds from the annual meeting not used, it would be rolled over to be used for in the future for a pavilion or something that the board and members see that we need.
For the annual meeting.
Right. And,
okay. Because it has to stay the annual meeting.
And that's fine because it'll not only for the annual meeting, we can use it all year round. So, yes.
The pavilion.
Yes, the pavilion.
Yes, the pavilion. All right. Do you have any question about what he's proposing?
That's kind of long, but...
Okay. Do we have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So who's going to take action on that item? Michael?
You're going to investigate? He's got to get the ball rolling on how do we roll it over.
Taking notes, right?
Yeah.
Rubber meets the road.
We'll get that. Figure it out.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to I on the annual meeting, and I'm really sorry that my section is taking so long. I promise I won't have anything else in my brief report. There's a flaw in the way we've done things in the past, and that is we have meeting in September, we do the voting in September, we do the meet the candidates in September. And half the people or more have already voted before they've even had a chance to meet the candidates. So we want to do the meet the candidates in August. I would like all the members to be able to participate. And so I would like to have a Zoom meeting of meet the candidates at some point in August.
Zoom only.
We're not scheduling a meeting here. There's not going to be an additional board meeting. It's just going to be a chance to.
This is separate and apart from the August board meeting.
Yes. Right. Totally different day. It'll probably be in the evening when most people are available. We can record it so other people can watch it. But that way it reaches more of the members whose votes count. So, is that something I need to take a vote on? Probably not, huh? Mm-hmm.
when the candidates have to be nominated by?
July 8th.
I think today is the...
Today, to the bylaws of CPNR, there is no legal date of the
for a nomination? Oh. Well, that person's going to have a a tough time getting votes. If so we have asked for the nominations to be submitted by July 8th.
Today, July 8th.
Right. Right. So that memo was sent out or a notice was sent out. What's that? Midnight. Let's keep Danielle up all night.
There's got to be some kind of time frame on nominations and then verifying is a particular person that's nominated eligible. So there's a criteria of ownership, timing, date, I guess.
That's you.
Not too old.
Rent out.
Way to read. They can be nominated at the MLBC.
Okay.
Right before the
votes. Okay, that's fine. That's somebody wants to do that, they certainly can. Okay. So a notice will go out when that Zoom will happen. All right, I'm going to shut up. It's about time.
I have a question. Did we discuss the outdoor kitchen?
Yeah.
Potential?
Okay. Permanent, semi-permanent improvements. Nothing's going to happen this year, apparently. I mean, it's...
Okay.
I would see that being part of an outdoor kitchen pavilion, maybe part of the Ben proposal, maybe separate from it. But that's something that has been talked about for 40 years.
I know there's been some other discussions about it. I didn't know if we wanted to go down that any further or if we wanted to do that as part of a grander for the... That's the only reason I'm questioning.
I definitely think it's something that we should talk about to start people thinking on location.
Yeah.
If we do an outdoor kitchen, if it's right here, does that now encroach on whoever's got the garden cabin or whoever else is, you know, where would we put it?
I would think it would enhance people staying in the garden cabin, but if they had access to it.
And do we do, like you said, one here, one at the near the upper cabin location or in the...
Ponds area.
The ponds area, or in the over by Mike McNichol's
spot. I think there's a lot to discuss with that. I know that Kurt, would you like to talk at all about any ideas for outdoor kitchen?
Well, I've been talking about it for years because Larry gave me a tank we can make a smoker out of, and I have built a lot of them and. I always thought that was a great spot there because it's by the bathroom and the water, but if you're going to add a pavilion, then it's up here. I did get Joe was made a volunteer to help with steel work.
Okay, so it sounds like we have something else. So Tina had mentioned maybe having to rent a smoker or something. I'm wondering if, with all this volunteer, if we could actually get one built for not a whole lot more than... Okay.
But is it something that can be done in time? Because when you put your eggs in that basket and it ain't done, then everybody's scrambling.
Yeah, well, rent one then. No, you're going to be looking at about $1,000 to get one rented and delivered out of here. Out of here.
Yes.
Yeah.
and the North Tri-State Smokers.
Well, he loaned me a smoker last year, and I ordered a smoker for myself, but they take 6 months to build and get them. And Norris, I hate to borrow his because he's got a lot of functions going on. Man, it's a big hassle to bring it out here and get back to him in time for his function. Last year I did not use the smoker. I used ovens.
So would ovens be a possibility if we made the funds available for a smoker to be built and it's not built in time, would ovens be available?
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Joe and Doug last or 4th of July. And they said they'd be willing to help with the steel work in August. So take a day to do the pad, day to put in the blocks, then you gotta put fire blocks on the inside of it, and then it's gotta cost out the steel.
Okay. So go ahead, Bart.
If we made funds available, we'd do it so it would be ready on time. Can it be ready on time, do you think?
Oh yeah.
All right, so if we make funds, it can be ready on time. We just have to actually prioritize the work.
What?
Right?
But we got to be aware we got monsoons coming.
I know that. There's a whole bunch of factors. So, but is it something that can be done or not? We don't want to put them in a bind if they're organizing the.
Yeah.
I would say in the reality world, that we need to do something else for this year.
For this year.
Okay.
Because nobody's in a position to drop everything they're doing.
Okay, that's the real.
I have a Traeger. I don't know if I could donate it. Bring it up.
I don't.
It's a pellet grill.
How big of a Traeger is it?
It's the biggest.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be able to do four.
And I can have that up next weekend for you if you need it.
Sorry, what was your name?
Mitchell 162.
Thank you.
I'm up in the air on my participation, but I'm sure that would be.
You can donate it to me, Mitch.
I'll talk to you afterwards.
Mitch, I'm accepting donations of Traeger grills.
I know.
Come on, Paul.
So you're talking about donating it as a for use.
Yeah.
Loaning it to us for the weekend.
Yeah, no, I'll donate it for the ranch down here.
Oh,
wow. I will keep it safe, but promise. Yeah.
Someone will be contacting you, and it won't be Larry.
I'll talk to you.
Excellent. Thank you.
I take back the bad good things I said about you yesterday.
Excellent. Okay. Are we done with the annual meeting plans? Do you have a committee? You need more people.
I have a few people. I have laborer volunteers. I have just waiting to know what to do, but I need help planning. I'm not a party planner. I don't know what I'm doing. I want it to be a family gathering. Party.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So just you'll need to submit estimates to Michael for what you're going to be spending the money on. He'll get that approved and we'll get you money in. All right. Now I'm moving on. No, it's an excellent sidetrack. Fuck, we got a Traeger out of it. Sidetrack me all you want. All right, Bart. Yeah, your turn.
All right, my turn. Item 6A, the water system. Thank you, members of the Water Committee. Brent, Jeff, Larry, Vance, they've done a lot of work walking around the sites, and we've come up with what we think will be a acceptable solution. Well, they came up with what we think will be an acceptable solution to the water system, and it will not require putting tanks on any individual lot owner's property.
By the ranch.
An individual tank, like a extending the larger 10,000-gallon tanks and putting them on lots, the other lots. That was one of the alternatives we looked at. Very expensive, $80,000-plus alternatives that really we don't have the money to spend, or we don't have the money for that. And so basically we are going to do individual, basically upgrade the connections so that they're acceptable to the division of drinking water with appropriate air gaps, backflow preventions, and each lot member will be required to submit through the association a booster pump waiver. We will do cost sharing. We're proposing to do cost sharing if the system is acceptable to the Division of Drinking Water. We will propose cost sharing with those lot owners. They will pay for their side of the system. The ranch will pay for the ranch's side of the system. And we're looking at, we don't have the full cost yet, but it'll probably be total around $5,000 per connection for this fix.
How many, and there's four connections total, right? This isn't something that is going to be available to all lot members. This is, we are correcting a problem that was created by a previous.
Yep. For those people that aren't aware, for those people that this is new to, this is addressing a significant deficiency that we have now, that if we don't get fix in place within the next month or a
extension,
within the next month we can get an extension. If we don't get an approved something, a plan approved, we won't be able to get that extension. And so this meets the requirements that were given to us by the Regional Division of Drinking Water Engineer. So I think we're good to go here. We just now need to get it to him. Vance prepared a general kind of schematic I have here. If people want to come up and take a look at it, we can do that after the meeting. It's rough right now. We need details on it so that we can send it to the Division of Drinking Water. But it looks like we have a good solution moving forward. Before I move on to water rights status, do I have any questions on that?
How long do you think before we know whether it's approved? Once it's submitted to the state, will it be a day, 10 days?
Hold on. I have,
you have a plan?
No, I have bee allergies. I don't want to get sun going. A formal approval can take time, but, you know, the back and forth is just, that's pretty fast with Paul Wright. Okay. So the regional will look at it, say, good to go. Then you submit it up to the Division of Drinking Water, and their engineering section takes more time to review and approve.
At what point will they say, okay, you're doing it, we're not going to come in and shut you down?
As soon as Paul Wright says something, I'm going to submit plans to the lady who runs the compliance program and say we have something that's been tentatively accepted. Can you please give us an extension?
Cool.
Yep. All right.
No one knows the answer to this. Are there any other things like this out here that are connected to 1, 2, 5, 10 lots that are going to ultimately cost the broad membership? This is only 20,000. It could have been 100,000.
So
is there any preventative measure that anybody's aware of? We can cut this off at the knees.
Well, yes. So, yes, we can answer that question. So right now, the only public water system that we have on the ranch is the lower cabin water system. And that is the public water system regulated by the Division of Drinking Water, and we are not letting anybody else tie into it. So that's the solution there. It's just going to be our common area system only, besides those ranches, those connections that were done many years ago. There are other water systems on the ranch. They are not owned by the association. The association doesn't manage them, and it's on those individual lot owners who come together, and they're responsible for those systems.
Part of this problem even exists because the lot owners who purchased a connection into this system which at the time was a good deal, and even today would still be a good deal, had they followed through on their side and the ranch followed through on our side. They should have been paying a use fee or a connect, not in addition to being able to connect, there should be a monthly fee charged. Had that been paid, we would have excess money to make any correction that's needed to be made.
Yeah. And two things, had the ranch been billing them so we would get paid. So it's a whole bunch of factors that we want to make sure is tightened up in the future.
And that's part of this fix is we're going to do this fix, but going forward, water, you pay for water. If you don't, we cut it off. Simple.
Thank you. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just...
We'll recoup costs eventually.
I understand we got a poison pill we got to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't want to eat another one.
Right. You know, some of the things that we'd all, that I think would be great, you know, have J stations throughout the ranch, right? Well, if you do a J station that people can fill up, suddenly you're a public water system. Somebody has to manage it. Somebody has to control it. So, you know, it would be great to have a J station up at the upper cabin water system. Suddenly that would make that a public water system. A lot more regulation, a lot more issues. So it all depends on how we want to grow the ranch in the future. And if we choose to make decisions about growth, these are the consequences of it. So just things that you got to think about growing.
So when we get these fixed, will those four members be invoiced now on a monthly basis for water?
Either monthly or annual or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do the invoicing.
any contracts if we enter into further contracts, which we have to, there will be a monthly charge.
Yeah.
Do they have that option now to disconnect if they wanted to and they wouldn't have to fix the problem?
We'd love them to.
Yeah.
They want their water.
Well, there's an agreement. I mean, so currently in the contracts, you know, the contract says, you know, there's basically the ranch, you know, we will make a connection. You know, we make no guarantee water will be supplied at any given time because, you know, just the nature of, you know, being able to supply water. But we did say that we're going to take care of our side of the system. And this is what taking care of our side of the system means. And it's unfortunately, it's a cost for the whole association.
Okay. Any further questions on that?
Okay. Moving on to, are there any online questions? Okay. Moving on to water rights. So, members of the Water Committee and Larry Clarkson have been doing some investigating of, well, let me back up. The water rights meeting that was held prior to the board meeting last month, and the reports were all sent out to everybody. I hope that all the members had an opportunity to read it and to educate themselves on it. I do believe the link that was sent out in that email expires in a few days. So if you haven't downloaded that meeting, please let me know so I can resend a link out to you. It's just, I think it's important for members to understand our water rights and kind of what's at issue there. Some of the, when we looked at the water rights, you know, it's pretty apparent that the priority and the thing that's most within our control is our managing our irrigation water and protecting those water rights. In support of that effort and those efforts, members of the Water Committee and Larry Clarkson have been going to look at some of the existing or the old irrigation system that, you know, there was the Finleys, the old ranch owners had, and that had been used in the past. Larry, you mentioned that you had done a little bit of work on clearing some of those out.
I did initial pass down. There's a ditch that delivers water from the Half Moon Reservoir to the well field, which is the big field right here behind the ranch house. I've partially reopened it. It had a massive landslide And then the diversion that takes water out of Meadow Canyon drainage to fill the Half Moon Reservoir to begin that process. I've started cleaning it out. Brent's done a lot of hiking and picture taking and looking at some of the other, the hidden reservoir and the diversion there. We have a lot of ditches and diversions and reservoirs that most people don't even know exist.
Right. So our next step that we're going to be focusing, the priority really right now when it comes to water is fixing this water system. Once we get this under control, we'll be able to focus efforts on the water rights, and we'll be have a much more concerted effort on addressing our irrigation system and being able to irrigate our pastures. Not necessarily for agriculture. We're not talking having to, you know, having cash crops or anything like that, but irrigating for grazing so the cattle can graze and being able to document that there is growth in these pastures because of our irrigation so that we can have pictures to show the division of water rights on this. So that's going to be the focus of what we're going to be doing over. Really, it's a long-term plan. It can't be something we only do 1 month or we have this big flurry of activity and energy and do it, you know, this season. It has to be a continued long-term approach to how we manage water. And so we've kind of raised the alarm or basically told the story in that meeting and in that report that was provided. So again, please read it. And then it's the Water Committee right now is doing a lot of legwork. Much appreciated. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Any questions on water rights? Are there any online questions on water rights, Daniel? If you do have any questions, you can email me. This is important, and it's a valuable asset for the ranch that we do not want to lose.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, we're going to move on to the brief report of area of responsibility by each board member. John Harris is absent, so we will not be getting we'll be turning to Larry. if he knows anything about roads that we all should be aware of.
I don't know of anything to update or change. I have continued to work a little on different spots of roads, mainly in the Broad Hollow area, working with the Broad Hollow Coalition. What do you guys call yourself?
Broad Hollowians.
Broad Hollowians.
I did take out the, a year ago we replaced a big culvert that takes water instead of going through the gravel pit and flooding it all out. The culvert that was there was silted full and buried, so Kurt installed a new one, and I went ahead and dug out the old one to make it available to put on a location yet to be determined. I've had a bit of work on the Broad Hollow Road and added culverts and continue to add more culverts. I did some work up near the Iron Gate going into the forest. Kurt graded up there and cleaned up some of the ruts and erosion. Water from Bear Spring Pond was jumping the berm and traveling down the east side of the road, kind of making a soft, muddy mess. And I reopened the old culvert, actually stole the culvert from one location and then reinstalled in a second location. So we're making little bits of progress here, there, and everywhere. Lots and lots and lots more to do.
Okay. And then,
so that's the report from John.
Okay, and now it's time for the report from you.
My report is...
Oh.
On roads, Kidhoff, Lot 83. Maybe we can send out a status update on the roads projects list.
Anything the road spent? Plan, how's that going?
I don't even remember if... Did you have a copy of that?
You put a culvert at the back gate temporarily, right, to drain that one pond?
No, that's...
Also leaking on the road.
So there was a culvert there at that location. It was just completely silted and buried. And when I dug into it, it had collapsed. Culverts are built in either circular sections or spiral sections. And a spiral culvert, particularly, if it starts coming undone, it's like a slinky, and it just becomes a big piece of twisted sheet metal. And so that culvert, I don't know why, but it was 100% unusable. So what I did was took out, there was a 30-inch culvert closer to the iron gate that had completely been buried. I removed it, cleaned it out, and installed it where the Bear Spring Pond culvert was. So that will stay there to drain that pond. And then we need to reinstall the big culvert over by the iron gate to handle that flow, which is partially a problem happening up in the forest. Years and years and years ago, most of the flow coming down Crawford Canyon into Meadow Canyon, or not Crawford Canyon, but from the Crawford Pass area down Meadow Canyon and Pipeline Canyon, was caught and held in the large, we call the Red Reservoir, down in Pipeline Canyon. Most of that water traveled down the very far west side of Meadow Canyon through a culvert and into that reservoir. Years and years ago, when the forest changed some of the logging roads up above, and this has happened in Slide Canyon also, when people go in and start cutting trees and cutting cedar posts and throwing down the slash, the next flood pushes that slash into the sagebrush and starts changing the course of water. It starts silting and filling in above the slash, which can be beneficial, but it also alters the course. And a good percentage of the water coming down that canyon has been shifted from the west side that fed into the Pink Reservoir, Red Reservoir, further to the east side and started coming down. A larger percentage came down right at the iron gate and started overwhelming. So we historically have transferred a large percentage of that water further west. That's why years ago, Dale and Clark Lamb and I put in a bigger channel to try to carry that over to the Red Reservoir. But it's just continued. The flow has increased. The silt has increased. Our culvert size never increased. And so that's plugged off and just made a mess. So we need to do a significant change there. Shift all that water over to the Red Reservoir just to protect the flooding in the meadow. Part of the reason the reservoir water is simply to hold it, to benefit wildlife and to refeed instead of just having it gone and into Arizona tomorrow. We hold it here, let it percolate back into the ground and be beneficial, help feed our springs and wells. And anyway, I hope that answers some questions.
Okay. Was that the end of yours, or do you
have a gravel pit? On my other stuff, I don't have anything on anything to update on fishing. Has anybody caught any fish?
Yes.
They're off.
My daughter did.
Good.
She enjoyed it.
I am still working kind of in the pit to have more material available. I finally had a person here yesterday that can potentially help me get my crusher up and operational because I've been waiting on somebody else forever and ever, and it's just not happening. But prospects look good for having more material available to not have to truck it in from Scootumpaw on that washboardy road.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Do we have any kind of a estimated time frame for when the crusher will be?
The person that I'm working with to help get it going is committed on a job down in southern Arizona for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be leaving for Alaska. So realistically, having crushed material available won't happen until I'm back in September.
Okay.
And the membership's been purchased again?
Yeah.
All right, any other questions for Larry? All right, Bart, got anything else?
I don't have anything else besides the water.
Is there anything, are there any member comments or communications you need to pass on to the new director of membership? Acting?
The only comment that I received was that email about doing silent auctions.
Okay.
That was it.
Great. Thank you. Michael, you have anything further?
The only thing I have is once Firefly's up and running and we get that stuff off, I'll start looking if we can revamp the website and see how we can make that transient to the next person and make it easy and painless so that it's not so complicated.
Okay. Any other questions for Michael?
In terms of the, Mike 270, just a question about, you mentioned that the revenue for cabins is significantly down, 50% down. Do we have any feel for how much of that might be due to the problem with the reservation system itself?
No. I would assume anybody that's truly wanting to reserve is going to reach out and go, why haven't I
figure it out?
Yeah. I think that for 3 years people haven't been able to go places without COVID restrictions. Now all those restrictions have lifted, and I'll give a quick example. We booked a trip in January to go to Egypt. The costs of that trip have almost doubled since we booked. So, and because everybody else is trying to travel as well. So just from what I've seen of looking at bookings and everything's going up at other booking sites simply due to the demand, which means our demand is less. At least that's my story and I'm sticking to it. I truly don't know why, but that's what I think is going on.
Any other questions for Michael? I would like to thank Michael for the work he's put in to getting Firefly up and running. I'd like to thank the Firefly people, too. They've been awesome. They're great to work with. We're really happy with our choice so far. But Michael put a lot of work into that, and it's very much appreciated. And he's going to be putting a lot more. Okay, Scott, do you have anything?
I talked to Kurt earlier today. The last two meetings, fence is over by Podunk. It was supposed to be started, and they haven't been. And the guy that was supposed to be doing it has been incognito. So I don't know if Kurt can fill us in.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him this weekend, and if he doesn't give me a – he was supposed to start June 1st, yeah. Then June 15th. And I know he's busy, so Lyndon Beislein is willing to do it. He can get it knocked out for us. So I'll be talking to the other guy later today.
Yes, it just was in the last minute. So anyway, I touched base with Kurt, and he's going to see if he can get that figured out and get somebody on it. So
material's up in the barn.
Yeah, it's all ready to go. Just haven't had the people to do it yet. So, or the people who said they were going to do it hasn't done it. So
Okay. And we were going to be paying those people?
Yes,
that was – yeah.
All right.
And other than that, I don't have anything more.
Okay, thank you, Scott. So I'm going to open up the meeting to the members. Please limit your comments or questions to just a couple of minutes because we are way over. But especially bring up anything you'd like us to discuss at the next board meeting.
Jerry Van Arsdale, 19. Do we have a date for the annual meeting? I heard September.
Yeah, it's the second Saturday in September. You want me to look up?
Nine.
Oh, that's okay.
9/9.
Also, is there any chance we can get the audio for the monthly meeting on the website sooner? Because as of yesterday, it wasn't on there, and I wasn't on the Zoom meeting last month. And I had no idea what you guys discussed for the meeting.
You're talking about the minutes or the audio?
The audio, not the minute. The audio is not on.
Last month's audio, I think, was
no. We didn't have one last month.
You didn't have one?
We couldn't.
I had it on the recorder, but I didn't know how to put it on. Danielle's going to help me in the future to how to put it on if our other system.
Big problems with
there
audio.
There were technical issues. It typically will be uploaded a lot sooner, usually like next day.
Yeah.
This one was late, but typically next day the audio will be on the website.
Okay. So
and
now
then the following month,
that meeting's lost?
We have it right here.
Okay.
I just think somebody's going to have to help me download it.
You know, it's old farts. We're technically challenged.
I am, anyway.
Technologically challenged.
I'm lost. This is under 1,000.
Yeah, Brian. This is Brian Castle.
Brian Castle, Lot 130. This is kind of old business, but a year ago, and it affects the full-timers here. About a year ago, there was this project that was going on where we would have a delivery locker in Kanab where we could have stuff delivered to that was bigger than the post office would accept. And yeah, it seemed like we were on the brink of doing that, and then it just disappeared.
So, yes, you're right, and I've been thinking about that lately. We put I don't know how much effort was spent getting that together, but when our last admin resigned, it wasn't handed off to anybody, and so it fell off. I still think there's a need for it. I would still like to see businesses, some business in Kanab, you know, take that on, because what it's going to require for us just was really cumbersome. Getting insurance and getting locks and getting security cameras and, you know.
Okay, you basically answered my question. Like, don't expect it.
It has reached a standstill, unfortunately, at this time. I still think it's something that we need. But I think it's going to take member involvement. I think it's going to take somebody stepping up and saying, I'll take this on, and we can get, you know, the information, I'm sure, from Jennifer on what has been done and what she came across, the challenges that she came across. I think she wanted to use the fly-in storage. Is that what it's called? Fly-in?
I'm not aware of
that. Some of the issues I remember hearing about it when I first came on, but weren't some of the issues, you know, liability for the association if you have group mail? And then they looked at doing individual mailboxes.
But this is separate. This is package receipts.
Okay,
yeah.
But just like a group thing, the liability for the association.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, and who's going to pick it up? You know, and then if one person's going to go get their own, you've got everyone else's packages there too. And then someone says, hey, where's my package? It was supposed to be delivered. Someone took it. And then, well, I didn't take it. And then so you started getting into that whole can of worms there.
So,
okay, the way it was reported on the board meeting, it was just like imminent.
It was.
We just needed a signature, and the next month we were to begin.
That's what we thought. And then a whole bunch of questions came up about liability, and then there was the resignation, and that was that. So, unfortunately, you've got a good point.
I have a comment from Tammy Hunt, and this will be sent out as an email. She's continuing to have issues with family members of lots owners trying to get onto the members-only page and is not providing any information on who is kind of sponsoring them as the lot owner. So if you are giving out, you know, that Facebook page to have your family join, make sure that they're using your lot number so that they can be added and receive ranch information.
Thank you, Tammy. Anybody else? Brent or Tina? Tina?
I want to put a proposal out to open the RV pads to all members, not just reserving for work campers. I suggest $10 a day. And then if you do get work campers coming, you can block out that time. Otherwise, let's get some of that money back that we put into it. So, proposal from next month?
Yeah, thank you.
I slept through most of the meeting, so I'm refreshed.
At least you don't snore, dear.
And it's a pretty short list. We need to talk about, we need to have the board address the water stuff in relation to the water committee. If we'd have had a water budget, that would have been a fine item. We'll talk about that.
We did. I don't know how much we talked about it.
There is a separate line item on the budget for water.
Okay. All right.
But we didn't talk about it. I think what
Brent's bringing up is what I discussed about, for instance, the connections that are on the public system. That should be a separate line item, a separate account, separate funding, maintenance, ongoing costs, and an ongoing current monthly billing and paying, or it just doesn't work.
Understand. Okay.
Okay. I powered up 6, 8, 9, and 10. We dealt with some heat issues. It was a faulty battery temperature sensor running to the one inverter. So Vance and I cannibalized one off of the other solar trailer. Procured. Repurposed. anyway, so it's working. And Vance set up so we can electronically monitor the electrical building. So we can now monitor the voltages and the temperatures in there. We're still dealing with some higher temperatures and the higher temperature than we'd like. We've got the battery temperature down to where I'd like it. It's in the 80s. It was around 100. But we got double layers of insulation. If you go up there and look, it's just all temporary. But inside the building, I've got a fan running. I removed the window. I hokey put up a screen with some tape, and that's relieving some of the heat. But I got some other heat issues in there, and we'll probably, I'm looking at either, I'm going to try some shade cloth on it and see if that helps. If that doesn't, I want to paint the building white with some elastomeric paint to lower the temperature somewhat. I know white's not going to be everybody's favorite color, but it is what it is. So far it's working. Our overnight voltages have only dropped down to 49.7, which is pretty close to the holy grail of 50. Pretty happy with that. The two fridges in 9, any complaints about the fridges?
Okay. They froze ice last night.
What's that?
The number 9 cabin froze ice last night.
Oh,
ice
cube tray. Okay, anyway, so... Any complaints? Any complaints? Send them to Bob Pippen over there. Then Bob will talk to Bob's people. Will talk to Mike.
Ben Collinwood, Lot 227.
Were you finished, Brett?
Oh yeah, I didn't know if you were raising. No, yo. The floor for Danielle or the grass.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
Okay, you're on, Ben.
Okay, thanks. Lots of great improvements that are happening, so I'm really pleased to hear it. I have a general comment that takes us back to the conversation about the fees for reservations and things like that. So yes. Some of the comments to put forth were like, well, we're trying to make sure we cover our costs there, but and that the people who use the cabins are paying for it. That sits wrong with me, and I just wanted to share this because I don't use the fishing ponds. Are the people who use the fishing ponds going to be covering the costs for the fishing ponds? Are the people who use the RV pads going to be covering the costs for the RV pads? Or the association owns all of these assets, and we all get to use them, and it should be an equal share. Not whoever uses one thing pays for that thing. And so it just felt wrong to say, hey, whoever uses the cabins, those are the people that need to pay for it. Well, that's not. It's not the case. I don't fish, so I don't want to be paying for the fishing ponds, but I do, right? Like, it's just we should look at it as a whole, not as individual people have to pay for individual things. That's all. Thanks.
There's a different cost of use. Everybody owns the cabins. Everybody owns the fishing ponds. Everybody owns whatever we own, and we all pay for that. But there's no cost to you at the fishing ponds,
additional,
whether you use it or don't use it, there is additional cost at the cabin if somebody uses it. There's other hours that are spent. We pay a fee to other people when somebody uses a cabin. We don't pay anything to anybody if somebody fishes or doesn't fish. Is it, I don't know if that makes any sense.
Kind of like water hauling.
There are costs. When somebody makes a reservation, two or three people have to spend time, and it may be 10 minutes and it may be an hour per reservation that's expended by one, two, or three people. And so there is an additional cost that I don't book cabins. I don't use cabins, but I do my effort goes toward the ownership, and I don't complain about being an owner and paying for the cabins, but I don't want to pay for somebody's use of the cabins. I own the fishing ponds. I pay for the fish. And as of yet, I have never fished at a fishing pond in Deer Springs.
I think we understand your concern, your position. And I don't know that we're ever going to be fully recovering the cost of the cabins. And I agree that some of that should be borne by general membership. But there are members that use them heavily, and that, you know, a significant portion of the membership would disagree that those people should just be able to use it with no additional cost. Does it seem like we're understanding your concern and addressing it?
Yeah. Ben? Yeah, thanks. Good discussion.
Thank you.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay, any other member comments or input? Dale. Yes, Dale.
My curiosity is, you talk about voting on some proposals at the annual meeting. Is there going to be very much time allotted to business at the annual meeting? I have sent four letters now to you, the board, suggesting certain things. None of you have contacted me for additional details or for any questions or anything else. Before it goes on to a ballot, I think that there should be some discussion between me and you or whoever to make sure that the membership are approached properly. So I'm just concerned that the board has not responded to the four letters and the 100 pages that I've sent out, you know, for your consideration. So I'm curious to know how we might move forward in a meaningful way, and if time will be given at the annual meeting, or if the membership wants it. Business discussed at the annual meeting. I was told by some board members that it should only be for auction. It should not be for business.
Okay, and you just brought up an excellent point. I am loath to address something this significant myself. The reason I haven't responded directly to your proposal is that I think I have brought it to the biggest, best, most powerful tool we have, and that is a vote of the membership. That's how I am addressing it. And very respectfully, sir, I think we are giving it the due attention. We are not just pot-shotting what we think at you or at the membership. We want this to be fully examined and fully considered before we make any specific comment. Okay?
Sure. I mean, this is the document that I'm holding. For those that aren't here, I'm holding up the document. This is the document that you're going to get and be able to review online. It's pretty hefty. There's a lot of information in here. And almost seems we don't even know members, you know, desires or what they want to entertain in this document. And we need to get that feedback first. So to just say, hey, vote on this, it reminds me of I'm on the Regional Advisory Council for the Wildlife Committee. They did a big proposal for weapons changes. Nobody could agree on everything. you broke it down into individual chunks, and then it passed. Every item passed. But when you look at this thing in whole, it's a big, it's a lot to swallow.
Significant.
So when we look at it, we can get feedback from members, and they can say, hey, I like that idea. Let's approach this. And so we want to get that feedback so that we can break it up into certain things and then approach.
And when are you asking for the feedback from the members?
When we're getting ready to put that online. We're going to put it on the website for people to have so they can review it, and we're going to get that feedback from them. I don't think we put a timeline on it, but
we are asking for a vote on whether or not the membership wishes us to move forward on it. And we are also asking for feedback at the same time.
That's different than the vote in September.
No, that is. It's happening concurrently.
So you would be receiving this information in July or August?
It kind of seems like we need to get, I think we need to get the feedback first. We need to get feedback first, and then we need to say, based on the feedback, what we should vote on in September. So I think, I'm not sure we're fully prepared right now to answer your question, probably to your satisfaction, but because we don't know what they want.
Right.
We need to know what members want to move forward with.
And the request for information will be going out next week.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been given a deadline.
I have not heard from any of the board members. I didn't know whether you'd throw them in the trash or...
No.
Go ahead with something.
So, putting it on the website gives all of the members the unfiltered information.
Yep.
That comes directly from you. It comes the way you worded it to us so that we're not being an intermediary and trying to disseminate that information. We're going to present the whole package as it sits.
And what's the website?
Traditionalrestaurants.org. The main website.
Yeah, .org.
.org. Okay.
And if others would prefer, I can attach that PDF file in a link in the Facebook page if you'd prefer it that way.
Maybe, Daniel, is that something? Can we add it to when the ballot goes out next week? Can we add a link?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'd like to address Gail's comment about the annual meeting being a business meeting. We've talked to several members that refused to come to any more meetings because guns were drawn, sheriffs were called.
This is years ago.
I would hate for it to revert back to that. So I would like to see the annual meeting be more of a family setting, just the board results announced, and just a family barbecue, a get together. That way we can get all those people that don't want to come anymore to come back, enjoy the family, have the business meeting every other day of the month or year.
What's wrong with
just
guns?
Have the annual meeting with family. That's my concern.
Thank you. Appreciate the input.
Thanks, and I was flipping. I said, what's wrong with guns? And we shouldn't be drawing guns. I get it.
You can draw guns with a pen and a paper. Okay, any other input from the membership?
Yes, Cindy. Last month when I was listening, I was having a hard time trying to input at the end of the meeting, and so I held off for this one. I know that Kurt resigned as a board member last month, and his positions, where have they gone to? Are they given to other board members? What's the situation on that?
So if you look at the heading on the board of directors meeting notice, I am listed as the president and acting director of membership.
I see
because Bart Batista was assigned director of agriculture and infrastructure, we felt that was too important to just leave that hanging. So Bart has taken that over at this point.
And he's doing the water also?
Well, that's part of it. That's kind of part of infrastructure.
Yeah.
So I was director of infrastructure, and just because I am an engineer, I am a water operator, I managed water systems, wastewater systems, infrastructure before, I could provide some subject matter expertise on it. So I was director of membership, but I took some load off of Kurt's plate and handled that because he's also the ranch manager. With him resigning from the board, you know, he can still focus on ranch manager, and that allows me to do kind of the board level oversight of ag and infrastructure. So
I appreciate you bringing it up because I probably was remiss in not making a bigger announcement of it, but I am handling the director of membership duties as I was when Bart was unavailable. So I've taken that on more fully.
On the board. When I wasn't on the board. When I didn't do that work before.
Oh.
That's when you were doing it.
No, but it was always a default. If you're not satisfied with what Bart is helping you with,
go to the president.
No. So I took that on. Thank you for asking and bringing that up. Did you have another question or comment?
No, I don't.
This is Kathy, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Zane, 276. I had a comment about the meeting being family-oriented or business-oriented, and the thought came to me, is there a possibility to run simultaneous meetings, have families over here and a business meeting happening at the same time? Just a thought, neither here nor there. In addition to that, and totally unrelated, maybe the wrong venue, I also have a question. Maybe somebody can point me in the right direction for easement responsibility and allowability. I access my lot through an easement and would like to make some improvements because I have some washing that's happening. But I don't know how much responsibility I have to make improvements on essentially another person's lot, even though it's my easement that crosses it.
Have you contacted that lot owner?
Yes, I spoke with them 6 weeks ago.
Okay.
I have an email contact, but I didn't know if there was anything in bylaws or requirements that says this is the course that I have to work through to make those improvements.
Because there's a fountain of historical knowledge residing in this young man.
I see him looking at me. That's a conversation I have been meaning to have for the last year at least.
Yeah, I can get with you. The best thing on your particular lot, the best thing is to work with the lot 7. I can't even remember which lot you'll go through. But there shouldn't be an issue on, you know, unless you want to alter the course and go right through the a whole different part of their lot.
Yeah.
Alter
the course, yes, but to the tune of like 3 trees.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all in favor of removing trees, as some people may have.
I have a chance on that. I want trees.
So just as a matter of general, in general, the board really tries to stay out of member-to-member discussions, arguments.
Guns drawn.
Civil matters.
Is it rent? Sure.
And because you are property owners, there are civil recourses. And the board prefers to not take sides or get directly involved. We are happy to be advisors. We're happy to, you know, for example, let you know what we think is a good course of action.
Primarily, I was concerned about bylaws that I would step through.
Have you read the bylaws? Do you know where to find them?
I have been through them, yeah.
Okay.
I know where to find them.
Okay, good.
Is that road that Zane wants to modify? Is that one of our ranch roads that are flat?
No.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. So it's within the 30-foot easement or just a access easement granted individually by the
30.
Yeah, so it was granted by the lot owner. Okay. Is that a recorded easement? Well, more.
Yes.
Well, I'm sitting in the direct sun, so unless you want your president to get heat stroke shortly, let's wrap this up. But I am open to hearing any other feedback from members.
Asked me to mention that if anybody's in, you know, his lot, he's got 137, I think, that's coming up for sale.
Okay.
So he just wanted to let, I know a meeting a while back, they said this lot's for sale. But he just wanted to let know.
And your lot is still for sale, is that correct? 18? Okay. Anybody else want to mention their lots for sale? All right. Then I am going to
call for a vote to adjourn?
It's at our next meeting.
What would I do without you, Larry? Look, it's on the second page that I haven't turned to yet. It does say July 8th. Oh, my gosh.
I've got that taken care of.
Fire whoever wrote these.
It could be August 12th, unless that's conflicting with anything. Second Saturday of August is the 12th.
Okay, so our next meeting will be August 12th, 10 a.m., here and on Zoom.
I will be joining by Zoom.
Will you be in Austin?
I will.
We will miss you. Terrible.
When are you coming back?
Never.
Say that.
Anytime I leave town, my daughter rearranges my house, my furniture, and gets additional pets.
Which daughter?
I don't know.
Okay, now may I adjourn the meeting?
Yes, you may. I will.
I got a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming.